I told him probably one of the best thank yous I ever got happened about 10, 12 years after the kid had left my school. And they were a waiter at a restaurant, and I noticed that they kept staring over at our table. I didn't recognize him. He had a full mustache and, you know.
Yeah, all grown up, right?
Yeah. So I didn't recognize him, but he, before we were leaving, came over at Mr. Porsche, right? Yeah. I wanted to say thank you because if it hadn't been for you, I wouldn't have graduated middle school.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Brighter Together podcast. My name is Jana Courtney, and my special guest today is Ira Porsche. Ira is the superintendent at Tulare City School District, and that is in Tulare, California. Ira, thanks for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor.
Awesome. So tell us a little bit about the demographics of where you are. And then I know you had some very specific things we wanted to like touch on, so we can go from there.
Sure. We are low socioeconomic status, mainly. We're free and reduced lunch for most of our babies, if not all. We have a great close-knit community. We're a little big city. And we have probably one of the larger Latino communities. We are about 80-85% Hispanic Latino. And, you know, our other demographics are a smaller piece, but still very close-knit farming community, and just a wonderful place to raise a family and to be.
Awesome. So about how many kids do you guys have in your school district?
So we teeter back and forth. We're just below 9,200 students.
Oh, that's not a small school district. You're not tiny.
Well, I said little big
city. I've talked to 400 and 200, and that's not that small. But yes. When you look at California, LA, I get it.
Yes, we're very tiny compared to them.
Yes.
But yeah, we teeter back and forth, and that's a transitional kindergarten through eighth grade district. And we have about 1,500 employees. Again, a lot of close-knit folks that either grew up here or near here and just love the community.
Awesome. So tell me some of the great things and some of the challenges that you see in education right now.
The great thing I could definitely say is it's a tale of two cities. It's always a great time to be in education because everything is driven by education, from, you know, our socioeconomic status on down to just connecting to the community. We are trying to build a growth mindset with not only in our actual school district, but in the community at large, to just keep learning. And you know, our motto is raising up caring, confident, and creative children. We want to partner alongside the parents with that and let our parents know, you know, when you drop your babies off, they're our babies. And when you pick them up, they're your babies, but we continue to worry about them and love them because they're all of our babies.
Right.
And so that is probably the best part about education right now, is just being able to love on our students and our community and make sure that we stay close knit. The challenges are, you know, post pandemic, things changed a little. I wouldn't say people changed so much, is because people are going to be people no matter what. But I would definitely say some of the things that have happened after the pandemic, such as attendance and just behaviors for some, that's changed a little. And it's not all the pandemic. I tease everybody and I call COVID my Uncle COVID. He's like that uncle that shows up at all the gatherings that you really don't want there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but I would definitely say the age range of our babies coming to us has changed. You know, we used to only have to worry about 5 and 6 year olds coming because of kindergarten. But as we go down and, you know, we get into the TK land and then we're into the preschool land, you know, we were joking the other day, we were like, hey, might have to partner with the hospital and take these guys right out the incubator and bring them on in, because, you know, we're getting them younger and younger. But the good part about it is with those students coming younger and younger, we also have educators who are fresh out and ready to take on the challenge of getting those babies ready to for school. So
yeah.
Again, that's a challenge, but a challenge well accepted.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. And that's, you're not the first person that's told me that the pandemic really made it difficult for kids to be ready for school. But you guys, it sounds like you guys have embraced that challenge, and that's an amazing thing. It's amazing things. So what would you say are some of the things that you guys are doing that kind of sets you apart?
From other districts or just?
Yeah, whatever. What's something that makes Tulare City School District stand out?
Well, one of the things I believe that has always set us apart, and this is my 28th year in the district.
There at that school?
In the school district. I went to school here. And then graduated, went to college, came back, got a great opportunity from my former principal, who used to be the superintendent of personnel, assistant super personnel. And, you know, he chance encounter with him and my mom in a grocery store and him asking, hey, what is your son doing these days? And when she told him, he was like, man, get him back here. Let's have him teach in the community that raised him. And we've kind of stuck with that motto. We don't mind fresh new faces and ideas, but we love it. Absolutely love it when our homegrown students come back and pour into the community. And I think that helps to set us apart from other districts, because I think it lends to more buy-in when you have someone who grew up, you're connected to the families. You know, I was teasing with some gentlemen that were superintendents, and when I had told them I grew up here, you know, it makes it really easy when you have a disgruntled parent and they want to come and meet with you. And then when they walk in and see your face and they're like, oh, it's you. And I'm like, get in here. Let's talk. You know, we remember each other from high school or middle school. So it makes it just wonderful, because that trust is already there. They've seen me grow up. They've seen our teachers grow up. They remember them from school, and they know that they can trust that their babies are going to be taken well care of. So I think that helps set us aside. That makes us unique and special that we try to build like that.
So how long have you been the superintendent?
This is my second year as a superintendent. So 28 years ago, I started out as a fourth grade teacher. And to be honest, I had no plans on going into administration. You know, I had teased my wife, because she was like, let's go get our admin credentials. And I'm like, no, I'm on the 4 for 40 plan. And she was like, 4 for 40. I was like, I'm going to teach fourth grade for 40 years.
40 years.
And then right off into the sunset, right? Because I loved my fourth grader. But had some individuals who really believed in me. And, you know, the question was posed, do you want to have a positive effect on just 35 students, or would you rather have a positive effect on 9,000? So it's like, since you put it that way.
Yeah.
So I decided, you know what? Okay, I'll go into administration. So I went, became a head teacher of that same elementary going into third grade. And then I moved to a junior high as the head teacher and taught sixth grade. And then I became a vice principal of one of our middle schools. And after that, I was given the nod to go to one of our elementary schools and spent 6 years as the principal there. And then was moved to a junior high and was able to spend three and three quarters year there. And right at the end of that year, before the year ended, I was able to be pulled to the district office. I became the director of Student Services and Technology. I believe we called it EdTech at the time for our baby, and data systems. Yes. So stayed there for a while, and I'll never forget the conversation. My superintendent at that time came in and said, you know, a lot of dangerous things happening at schools. So what would you think about us building a safety department? And I was like, well, you know, one of these days you can stand in front of the community and say, well, I thought about building a safety department, but hadn't quite gotten off the ground yet. Mm-hmm. Or you can say, I was at the forefront. I built the safety department as soon as possible, and we're doing everything we can to keep your baby safe. And she goes, congratulations, you're in charge of the safety department. I'm like, no, I didn't know it was an issue. So anyway, so that led me into child welfare, attendance, and safety. And I stayed in that position until 2 years ago, where I was able to apply for the superintendent of this district. And like I said, I'm just humbled and overwhelmed and just so thrilled to represent our district, a district I grew up in, that I always say grew me up.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's inspiring to see how a community has raised you up, you know, and now you're turning around and raising up their kids and their kids' kids. And yeah, and that's amazing. Cause you got at 28 years, you've got two whole good, almost three generations that you've gone through that school.
And I've seen them. Some of my fourth graders are teachers. Well, we did rounding yesterday at one of our elementary schools, and one of my favorite fourth graders of all time walked in. She's a teacher at that elementary school. And she was like, hey, my favorite fourth grade teacher, how's he? And we just laughed. I'm starting to see a lot of folks who are my age who are grandparents now. And it's very interesting.
Yeah,
to see
I think
it.
You guys are, you're probably not very far behind me because I've got 31 years. So. Yes. And I was a late bloomer. So. I had to figure it out. It took me a little while to figure it out, but we got there.
I look at that 28 years and it blew by quickly, but you know, I've always been just happy to be back, because I'll be 100% honest, you know, leaving here at 18, I was like, I'm never going back to Tulare ever. I'm going to spread my wings and I'm flying out of here. I'm not going back. And then I got placed, you know, we're primarily dairy, you know, farming and corn and whatnot. And I went to UC Davis, and they put me right next to where they were housing the cows. And so I spent a good amount. I'm like, is this the Twilight Zone? Like, how did I get put here? So I think it was the world, the universe was already trying to tell me, you're going back, bud. You don't think you are, but you are.
I grew up in Grand Island, Nebraska, and the wind shifted and the stockyards came, and my dad, he's so funny. He's passed now, but he would say, I would be like, oh my gosh, I can't stand that smell. And he's like, are you kidding me? That's the smell of money, honey.
Bang in this area. Yes, you smell that money.
There is a crisis in this country, a massive shortage of special education teachers. We know how devastating this can be for your students, families, and staff. Lighthouse Therapy places experienced special education teachers in virtual, hybrid, and on-site roles, and we handle everything from hiring to onboarding to mentorship. These aren't just placements, they're professionals who understand compliance, collaboration, and care. Let us help you fill in the gaps with special education teachers who really understand. We are here to help. Visit lighthouse-therapy.com/brighter together to connect with us today.
Yes,
you
ma'am.
Smell the money, because that is what it was. And that was our industry. I mean, that was a huge, it still is to this day, a huge piece of Grand Island is. And we had all the trains coming through, you know, and I didn't even hear those trains growing up. I went back after I'd been away for a long time and stayed, and I was like, good grief, there's a lot of train horns in this town.
Right.
I don't remember hearing them when I lived here.
No, we have a train system runs right through the center of town. It actually used to split our town into east and west.
Yeah.
But yeah, we've always been that beautiful farming community. Love our farmers to death, and just been a beacon of produce and dairy for California and the United States. So
yeah, and in California you probably have a couple of growing seasons too, I would imagine.
We cornfields get super high, and you know, like I said, we have Land O'Lakes and Dairymen's and just some great, great products here.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, I tell you, it's amazing. I love hearing about what you guys are doing and just the fact that you've just stayed and made such a difference.
If you could
fix one thing, Ira, just one thing, not money, can't be money, but if you could just fix one thing in your world as the superintendent, like, so you didn't have to deal with it ever again, what would that one thing be?
At this point, I would, and I don't know if it needs fixing other than, but I would try my best to fix, I guess if that's the word we're using, our parent community connection with us to the point where we're closer.
Mm-hmm.
We have a wonderful group of parent liaisons, each school site, and they do a magnificent job of connecting with the community, getting resources for our parents. But it's really difficult to get parents in and, you know, get a chance for them to learn alongside their child. Because what we're seeing is there is a breakdown sometimes in communication with regards to not teaching them how to raise their child, but, you know, just being on the same page since we're raising up caring, confident, creative children, right? So it's just one of those things where it's really difficult sometimes because there's that little gap in communication. If there's any fix that I would have, I would fix that, because that would just, that whole village takes a village.
That would
just make that mantra come alive even more so.
Yeah.
And we try to do a great job anyway of, like I said, of connecting with the community and making sure that parents feel welcome and bringing them in, but it can always get better.
Right.
Always.
Yeah. I love that. And I love that question because it really goes to the heart of what you care about, and you care about your community and you care about your kids and you want what's best for them. And that's fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. Well, you are making a difference, and that matters. That matters.
I hope so. I told a new group of teachers, just at the beginning of this year, you know, this is a very, very rewarding career that you're starting. But just remember, the thank yous and the pats on the back don't come like you think they are. I told them probably one of the best thank yous I ever got happened about 10, 12 years after the kid had left my school. And they were a waiter at a restaurant, and I noticed that they kept staring over at our table. I didn't recognize him. He had a full mustache and, you know.
Yeah, all grown up, right?
Yeah. So I didn't recognize him, but he, before we were leaving, came over and, Mr. Porsche, right? Yeah. I wanted to say thank you because if it hadn't been for you, I wouldn't have graduated middle school. And I'm like, I don't remember you being that bad. Like, and then he was like, no, you motivated me to. And so my biggest thing was, okay, that's where the pats on the back come in. You see the fruits of your labor later. So I just told him it's a thankless job and just keep grinding, but just know that's the fruit of your labor right there. When you can put great citizens out in up to our community and keep growing our community and other communities, that's the fruit of the labor. So anyway, yeah, I really am happy that I get to see this community thriving. And again, I just want to make sure that we're connected. We stay connected. We have our three core values that were created by our teacher representatives about 3 years ago, and I love them. We have relationship building, service, and integrity. And those three are something that I try to point to every time I'm talking to anyone in our district and out. And so service, you know, and I told my assistant soup of personnel last year, and he was like, never thought of it like that. I said, well, those three can be very daunting and big if you just look at them on the broader scale. So, but if we just took one and we focused on one to start, I guarantee you the others would kind of fall in line. And he was like, well, what do you mean? And I said, well, if you look at service, if we just focus on service and making sure we serve our community, our relationships are going to build.
Right.
And then our integrity will never be in question. I said, so if we can just start there. And he was like, ah, yeah, let's do that. Yeah. So yeah, it's been great.
Yeah. And that's it. You line it up and you love them up and you keep doing it every day and you are changing the world. Change the world.
Absolutely. One child at a time.
One child at a time. Amen. Right there. Amen. I love that. Well, where, Ira, do people come to learn more about Tulare City Schools?
We have an amazing Chamber of Commerce. If you're looking for Tulare City Schools in general, you can always come to our district office. We have pamphlets, but I am happy to say we hired an amazing media specialist, and she is actually working on Tulare City Schools' first ever informational magazine. Yes, that talks about our department. It talks about our teachers. It talks about our students and from anywhere from custodial and nutrition all the way up to our district office personnel. And so we're going to try and have that done by the summer so that we can start putting that in our local businesses.
Nice.
And that way they can learn about Tulare City Schools. But, you know, if you are a member of any service clubs, Greater Kiwanis of Tulare, or if you're a Rotarian or any service club, we try to get out to our service clubs every year. So that we can give them updates on how things are going in the district and what projects we're working on. So that's another great way for folks to learn a little bit about our district. And then, of course, if you're a parent, we always encourage them to get involved in our district advisory committee or get involved at the PTO level, just any level that they can get involved in. Just volunteer. We'll take it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And you guys have a website? I'm assuming you have a website.
Yes, ma'am. TCSDK8.org.
Nice. Okay. Beautiful.
A little bit about that, too. We have a wonderful website, and it was designed beautifully, but just talking to someone, I think it would be easy.
Yeah. You're never going to get
put in there, but we would love for people to know about the wonderful world of Tulare.
Yeah. Well, and your passion shows absolutely 1,000%. So keep up the good work. Keep up the
Thank
good
you.
Work, Ira. Yeah. And, you know, you came on Brighter Together and your countenance and the love that you have for your community, it brightens my day. So, you know, because we're truly Brighter Together. And I just love seeing that. And I know you're community and your school is blessed by your passion, and I'm sure that spills over into your leadership. So keep it up. And thank you for being on Brighter Together. I really appreciate you.
It was an honor. Thank you for having me. And again, I just appreciate I got a chance to look into a little bit about what you guys do, and yeah, you guys do some amazing things as well.
Thanks.
And so just glad to be a part of that and to talk to you today. So thank you.
Absolutely.